Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 261 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is Meredith McCarty. Meredith runs a company that provides virtual assistants. The company is called McCarty Virtual Services, and they provide virtual assistance to a variety of industries, most notably the coaching area, entrepreneurial and solopreneur type area, so not legal specific, but there's a lot of lessons to be learned from their approach to creating a great working environment for virtual assistants. And in particular, they do a couple of things that I think really set them apart from other virtual assistants type shops that we've had experience with or we've seen in other places. One is what they call their VIP day, and another one is a mini course that they've developed for how to outsource to virtual assistants. So I think there's a lot to be learned from Meredith's approach. I'm really excited to hear what they have to offer. And so it was a delightful conversation, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did having it. So without any further delay, here is Meredith McCarty. Meredith McCarty, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat all things outsource
today. Yeah, and it's delightful to speak to a fellow Marylander. Meredith, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So definitely I am a Marylander for the time being, but we are originally from, my husband and I, Des Moines, Iowa. So we are from the Midwest, and his job has us moving around the country about every 2 years. He manages professional golf tournaments. We are not in the military, but it will feel like it with how often we move. So we've moved a whole bunch of places, and now we're on the East Coast, and it was our third move in 2018 and about 4 years that I decided that I didn't want to keep finding a 9-to-5 that I knew I would be leaving once we had to move again. So I started McCarty Virtual Services, and we turned into now having a team of VAs, OBMs, all that good stuff. And so that's how it kind of came to be, which it worked out. So being location independent. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a really hot topic, not just in the legal space, but in all of business these days, particularly with, you know, the changes that we've had to undergo given the COVID experience, which hopefully is going to be winding down. But I think one of the legacies of what we've gone through is that people have recognized how important and how viable using virtual resources can be to any business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think before pre-COVID, a lot of people would say to me, you could do that from home. And then COVID obviously happened and we had to do it from home. And so, yeah, people realizing that it is possible and that it actually could be beneficial, you know, no overhead, all that kind of stuff for their business. It's definitely a resource that is more well-known and talked about now.
Do you find that there are some businesses that are better positioned or more prone to being able to use virtual services, or does it, you know, span the gamut of small and medium-sized businesses?
Yeah, I would say that it's pretty widespread, but what we see the most are solopreneurs or small businesses that just can't probably afford to bring on anybody full-time. But it also, there's a wider range of services. So maybe somebody that's just starting out has a VA, but then more established business owners or entrepreneurs might have a team where that's, you know, project management, online business management, more high-end services. So it's a wide range, but definitely probably the solopreneurs, small business first.
Meredith, I think another factor that comes into play here, given our COVID experience, is, you know, a lot of people have gone into business for themselves or created those solopreneur opportunities for themselves to cope with what's going on. And that in and of itself is also creating the opportunity for virtual assistants.
Yes, definitely. The pandemic has shown people that maybe people want to start working on their own terms. And so, yeah, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people are starting to have new ventures, and the need is definitely there. So it's been good for our industry.
Well, like I said, we've had some other folks on the program talking about using virtual assistants, either, you know, completely in the legal space or sometimes, you know, more in the entrepreneurial space. And, you know, there's opportunities there in both arenas. But there's a couple of things that I really like about your approach to providing services. And one of the things that you do, I think, a great job of is helping the client to determine what it is that they can outsource to a virtual assistant. How do you go through that process?
Yeah, sure. So I started talking about this topic because I was on, you know, strategy sessions with prospective clients, and it was always the question of, well, what do I even outsource? And I just was listening and thought, okay, this is an issue that we need to, you know, talk about and come up with a solution. So when I'm on a prospective call with a client and they are wondering what to outsource, I tell them to do a few things. So first, we want to make a time log of what we're doing on a recurring basis, or just what we're doing in general, right? So usually we'll do just a weekly kind of calendar dump of what are you doing recurringly in your business. So Monday, staff meeting, Wednesday, a blog goes out. So if you really sit down and think about what happens, you know, weekly, even daily, monthly, then we want to make sure that we're writing that down and documenting, because once we kind of know those tasks that are recurring for us, then we want to kind of put them into three columns. So I say to put it in a you love doing these tasks column. So something that you love doing, something that you dislike that you do on a recurring basis. And then the third column is kind of just, I call them the meh tasks. They're just kind of there. They have to happen, but you don't dread them and they don't light you up. So we kind of put them into different categories. So that's important for, you know, kind of part 1A. And then we move to taking a look at your revenue generating activities in your business. So this is really diving into how do you make money in your business? And what is the avenue that you make the most money to as well? Because, you know, if we work with a coach and they sell one webinar a year, we're not probably looking at that. We're looking more at the one-on-one coaching that brings in 90% of the revenue, right? So looking at what those activities or what is making you money in your business is important, because we kind of have to break that down a little bit of what does it take to make that money that needs to happen that only the business owner can do. So if we're just going to, you know, stick with the coaching example, that would be, they need to be on sales calls, right? They need to be getting those new clients. So they need to be doing marketing initiatives, those types of things. And then once you kind of figure that out, you can kind of say, okay, what needs to happen to make the money that I don't have to do because it actually isn't physically making me the money. So that would be scheduling clients, contracts, invoicing, things like that, that need to happen, obviously, for a good customer experience, but does not need to be, you know, handled by the business owner. So once you kind of figure out those items, then you can kind of take the tasks that need to happen. So from that example, the contracts, invoicing, stuff like that, the tasks that you dislike, because we did not start our own businesses to do tasks that right. we don't like. And those are the two things that you're going to outsource first. If you still need things to outsource, I say just the meh tasks, but really the tasks that need to happen that don't make you money and the tasks that you dislike. So that leaves the business owner with making the money, doing the money-making tasks, and then also the tasks that you love, which is you know, exactly where we want to be as business owners. So,
and for the legal community, you know, that's really, you know, pretty obvious in a lot of cases. There's lots of stuff about running a law firm that lawyers, mm-hmm. one, didn't go to school to do, and two, don't really like doing it, mm-hmm. but three, are critical for the success of their business. Mm-hmm. And so we see it all the time with solo saying, man, if I didn't have to prepare these invoices, right. you know, or if I didn't have to chase down marketing opportunities and the like, if I could outsource my social media presence,
yes.
You know, there'd be a whole lot of time freed up that I could do things that I really find either enjoyable or are revenue positive.
Exactly. You can either spend the time making the money, which is typical of what business owners want to do, or like you said, you can fill it with time with your family, vacations, doing things you like, your hobbies, things like that too are priceless. So,
and you've kind of taken this approach and turned it into also a couple of other unique either products or services. I'm not sure how to characterize this. Talk a little bit about your VIP day, what that entails.
Yeah. So the VIP day was created again, just because I was listening to what people were saying of what they need. So a lot of times business owners come to me because I am so focused heavily on preparing before you hire, but you know, it doesn't always happen that way. So, you know, people will come to me and say, oh my gosh, I really need support and I need it yesterday. How is that possible? And so we set up a VIP day where they will be able to bring on a VA by the end of the day. So we basically just do everything that they should have done or could have done prior on that day. And it's really nice for business owners that are busy and that they want to be ready in a day. I'm a quick start. A lot of business owners are. And so we just want it done, right? We'll pay. We just want it to get done. So that's kind of where that came from. And it's been super successful for people to just have everything ready and their home base and their back end for a VA in a day.
Well, I think one of the problems or one of the challenges that we have in the legal space is being ready to use the VA, you know, mm-hmm. and failure to prepare for, you know, how you're going to use the VA. I mean, it's one thing to say, here's the list of tasks that I want a VA to do, mm-hmm. but there's more to it than that. And
yes.
I think a lot of times what happens is we create that task and say, okay, I got enough to do here. Let me go out and find a virtual assistant. And then we have no systems in place, no processes developed. And so it doesn't really work out very well.
Right.
And we toss the idea and say, well, I tried virtual assistants and it didn't work. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think this VIP day is extraordinarily powerful. And so what are some of the things that, as a result of spending a day with your team, mm-hmm. what can I, as an attorney, business owner, expect to walk away from to help me prepare for using a virtual assistant?
Yeah, sure. So the big one we kind of covered is that we actually like dive in deep with them about what to actually outsource, because again, that is important. And then, so it's kind of in three phases. So once we kind of figure out what, we create a project management system. So that is the actual tool that you'll use with your team day to day. We work with them to create a video library. So basically, how are you going to train your VAs? What tasks are you going to hand over? We want those recorded for your team so that not only will it be vital to the success of your VA, but once you onboard your VA or your team, you don't want to field questions that you could have prepared for already, right? We want to make it a seamless onboarding. So we do that. We do a home base, which, you know, is just basically any resource that your VA would need and maybe go to you for is all condensed into one place. So your business goals, contact information, headshots, bios, your branding kit, workflows in general. So we put all those things that your team needs and we just organize it into a home base. We do help create a job description. So we kind of work with you once we know what to outsource, we have to create that job description that's going to bring in good candidates. And we know kind of the tips and tricks of doing that because I have a team and we hire all the time, right? So there is a way to do it and to not do it. And then we give you basically templates for success. So SOP templates for the future, team meeting agenda. I mean, we go all in. The VA, a lot of times people will do the VIP day and it kind of rolls into us taking care of their monthly services. But if it's something that we can't provide, whoever's hired actually gets access to an online course that I created specifically for VAs as well. So then they can further their education, which is an important piece as well, is bringing on a team is furthering their education. So,
all right. Well, that's just kind of made me weak in the knees to listen, listening to all of that, because that is tremendous value. Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. For many years, marketing companies have focused on funnels that run for a short time, often leaving dozens of leads behind that didn't make a decision yet. Spotlight Branding has found a better way. It's called a content loop, and it's changing the way attorneys think about their marketing. This system nurtures your leads in perpetuity with quality, evergreen content that elevates your credibility and helps the rest of your marketing actually work. If you're interested in learning more, head over to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, to learn more about the content loop and how it can revolutionize your law firm's marketing. Spotlight Branding, more referrals, better clients, higher return on investment. Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. Let's take a couple of these points and drill down a little bit. When you say you set up a project management system, I'm a big tech guy, so that's what gets my juices flowing. You set the project management system up in a way that they can implement it using whatever tech resources they typically use for project management?
Yeah. So if they don't have one, we create one. If they do have one, we tweak it a little bit. I have my favorites, obviously, as a tech junkie as well. But it depends, you know, because some are robust, some are, you know, pretty simple. So it's basically also gauging what that client needs and how robust they need it. But yeah, we'll create a system so that they can work with their team day to day. Because I also was getting the question of, well, how do I even work with a VA? And that's how we're going to use a project management system. Yeah.
All right. So give me some examples of some of the tools that you use in the project management.
A lot of times people will come to me and say, well, I use Trello. Right. Trello is just kind of the beginning project management system that I think. But as you get into more team members and more advanced, a lot of people use Asana. And my ultimate favorite is Teamwork. So Teamwork is more robust. So the pricing reflects that, but it is my favorite. So
yeah. Well, and there's plenty to choose from with just those three examples. You know, I think Trello is a perfect platform for getting started.
Yep, agreed.
And, you know, you can graduate, if you will, to some others, or you can use some other types of tools. there's lots of task managers and project managers out there. And so conceptually, you may kind of learn it on Trello as an example, but in short order, you can use whatever system you are most comfortable with.
Yes. Mm-hmm, 'cause you're using it every day, right? So yeah, right. It's important. Mm-hmm.
So tell us then about also the video library. Let's talk about how you create that. What are some of the tools that you use for doing that?
Yeah, so the video library is probably my favorite thing. So when we're doing, just specifically because we're talking about the VIP day, there are intake forms that go with it, because we've already talked about that there is front end work that needs to happen by the business owner, because we'll come in and do the implementation, but we need to know the details, nitty gritty, that only the business owner at this point knows. So the video library, what I recommend is downloading Loom as a Chrome extension typically. And just while you're doing those recurring tasks that now you know about because you've jotted them down on your time log, once you're doing them, just record yourself doing them, label it appropriately, and then you can organize it in Loom. So that you've already started a training library, right? So even if it's something that you're not, you know, you might not outsource for a month or two, let's start documenting what you're doing on a recurring basis and videoing so that your VA can come in, see the video, and know exactly how to do it without having to ask you how. That's the goal.
Let me offer just one other tool. My friend Tom Lambot, who has been on the program before, in his newsletter just this past week, referenced a service called Cloud App. Mm-hmm. And it's just exactly what you think it is. It's a service that allows you to record your screencasts and videos and store and organize them. Very, very similar to Loom.
Yeah.
And so if you don't want to use a Google Chrome and its extension, you can use Cloud App. And then also as a Mac guy myself, I use, you know, some of the Mac tools that are unique just to Apple. So any way you can create these videos, and yes, particularly, mm-hmm, you know, screencasting videos, because you want your virtual assistants to be able to follow your actions that you take when you're doing something on the computer, typically, mm-hmm, in a lot of cases. And so you want to be able to capture that. So all of that in one day.
All of that in one day. And we only do 4 a month because obviously it is time consuming, and I, sure, do block off. It's me personally that does it with the business owner. So it's a full day experience that I block my calendar off for.
And that's one-on-one.
It's one-on-one. Yep. And it's usually kind of a bookend VIP day. So we jump on the phone in the morning. We talk about, you know, your intake forms. I get to work through the day. And then we have kind of a closing call. What do you do next now that you have this, basically, at the end of the day? So
sounds great to me. Now, you also you mentioned a couple of courses that you have developed. One of them is a mini course to actually, mm-hmm, help the business owner, in this case the law firm owner, help them outsource. It sort of teaches them how to work with a virtual assistant. Tell us a little, yes, bit about that course.
Yeah. So that mini course is basically, I did a challenge that was 5 days. And so we took the recorded content from that in a workbook that goes along, that's, you know, so in depth. It's about 30 pages. And we put it into a mini course that people can purchase at any time, because we wrapped the challenge and then people were reaching out like, oh, I missed it. And so we've made it available. And it's also, if I have a sales conversation with somebody that knows they're at the stage where they're going to need a VA in a couple months, but they're not there yet, but they want to start preparing, I tell them to take the mini course because it guides them on setting up prior to hiring. So it is a good resource as well. So the VIP day is more of the full service. Someone is going to be executing for you. And then the mini course is somebody that has maybe a little more time and they don't mind doing it all themselves, basically.
But you could do both, right?
Yeah, you could do both.
And that would be useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people have done both. But yeah, it's totally personal preference. A lot of times people do the mini course too. It's all based on personality. Like I would do a mini course and then be like, take all the information in and then say, okay, I really want somebody to implement it. So yeah, it's personal preference and your personality.
So what are the big challenges that you have in providing these resources and services to business owners such as law firms?
Yeah, so I wouldn't I would say probably just the biggest challenge we've kind of talked about is that the expectation that they'll bring on a team and then they haven't prepared at all for it. Because a lot of times I will get on calls and like you mentioned earlier, is they'll say, well, I've hired three VAs in the past and they've never worked out. And typically that's a red flag of, okay, this person doesn't have, you know, the systems, the processes, all of that set up for success. Because as the business owner, it is, and a business owner myself of five team members, it is up to me, right, to make sure that they are successful. So working with business owners to kind of realize that they are in charge of making sure their team is successful has been, I wouldn't say so much of a challenge, but it's been eye-opening for people as well to realize, okay, maybe I am the problem and we need to figure out how to better prepare and fix it for the future.
Is there a particular area of the business that you see being used by business owners more frequently? I mean, is it social media or project
definitely
management?
So a lot of time, so we do have a social media manager on our team. So definitely social media has been something that people would love to outsource. Another thing is just, we call it our client concierge package. So people mm-hmm. that are onboarding new clients, making sure they get those contract invoices, customer service in general, scheduling. So that would probably be our other popular, and also just internal operations in general. So we do project management, you know, managing other team members, and then, you know, creating SOPs. So basically anything high level right. operationally as well as popular.
Now, just to be clear, if one were to take advantage of your VIP day or the, mm-hmm. or your mini course, or does it mean that you have to contract with you to provide the virtual assistant services that you're looking for? You use anybody that you feel is qualified, right?
Yeah, definitely. We had, we worked with a designer and she needed to hire a junior designer after going through everything of what she needed to outsource. Right. And it didn't make sense for her to pick us. Right. So yeah, no, it's not, you know, it's not a requirement.
Having said that, I can see that kind of a reoccurring maintenance kind of right. Function would be very useful. For instance, if I, you know, went and hired a paralegal as my virtual paralegal, I might want to call upon you as my VA coach on a periodic basis to review what's going on and how it's working and what we may tweak. Is that something you provide?
Yeah. So I actually custom made it was like a half VIP day for a past client that said, you know, I brought on two new people. I want to make sure that they're doing, you know, what's in their job scope. And, you know, so I dove in and did the organizing of, okay, maybe she should handle this, but let's maybe outsource this to somebody else. So yeah, that's definitely stuff that we have done as well.
Well, like I said, you made me a little bit weak in the knees with all of this. You've hit on some really important aspects of the virtual assistant system, if you will, that heretofore I haven't seen other people address. So congratulations to you. I think that positions you really very smartly in that workspace. Meredith, tell our audience a little bit how they may reach out to you or follow up with you on anything that they find interesting today.
Yeah, sure. So you can go to our website, www.mccartyvs.com. So it's just mccartyvs.com. And then also I'm on Instagram a lot at McCarty Virtual Services LLC. I'm on Clubhouse now. So every Wednesday do Q&As with an outsourcing expert. So that's at McCartyVS. So you can find me there.
Well, we'll have all of that in our show notes. And I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. And I wish you all the best of luck going forward, especially with that upcoming move.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was a joy to be here.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists, Daylight, and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.